from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Goal to go, third down and five for the Chiefs. Trailing 10-7, Mahomes raises the right leg. Pass caught near side, touchdown! Kansas City on a quick slant. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce for the 52nd time. That is third in National Football League history. Quarterback to a tight end.
Well, and just like that, everybody, the Chiefs remain the only undefeated team in the National Football League. Welcome in. Happy Monday. It's a Reaction Monday here on Sports Daily. I'm Tommy Kester, Paul Savage in for Jacob Albrecht, Jad Chambers in the producer chair this morning, manning that IHOP hotline, which you can connect with us anytime at 869-1240. Glad to have you here on the program today. Paul, welcome in. How was your weekend?
It was great. A lot of football. Had a lot of fun. Lost a game on Friday night we shouldn't have lost it with the East High Blue Aces versus the Dodge City Demons. Congratulations to them, Tommy, by the way. Congratulations to Dodge City. But been a fun weekend. But, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, that was fun to watch last night. That was pretty good. By the way, you know, you're always talking about tight ends. This is a record. I mean, we're the third most touchdowns between Mahomes and a tight end. Do you realize where, this is so funny, but where was Travis Kelce lined up in that formation? He was the outside receiver of a trip set. That's practically as far away from the tight end position as you could possibly be. Outside receiver. That means he's the closest to the sideline.
Right.
So I always get a kick out of that. We have never considered, at least I don't know, I don't think I have. Do you consider Travis Kelce a tight end? Because I consider him more of a utilitarian type player that can be used, and what we've counted up, what, 6-7 positions?
Yeah, so, I mean, he does everything, and he always has. I mean, he's so versatile.
Yeah.
And you know, that's really kind of redefining the tight end role in the NFL.
There's no question.
It was a big day yesterday for tight ends. George Kittle had a milestone game for the 49ers in primetime last night as they beat the Cowboys. We'll get into that in hour two. We'll do a recap and a reaction of everything that happened in the NFL in hour number two. Also, a look around college football. We'll do that in our second hour as well. World Series Game 3. Shocker basketball, their exhibition game last night against Emporia State. They looked good. We'll hopefully have time to talk a little bit about that as well in our second hour. Hour number one, here's the plan today, Paul. We're going to spend a lot of time on the Sunflower Showdown. In fact, in our next segment, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, will join us in just about 10 minutes from now, at about 9:15 or so, to recap and talk about a really exciting Sunflower Showdown.
Good.
As Kansas State beats Kansas in Manhattan by 2 points. So we'll talk with Wyatt and then spend some time on that later on in the hour. But let's get things started with the Chiefs. And we'll revisit the Chiefs in hour two as we kick off the 10 o'clock hour a little bit later on in the program. But really quick, top-level view of the Chiefs. For me, yesterday, watching that game against the Raiders, Paul, it was so much of what we've come to expect from Kansas City. Like, really, it was sort of, I feel like, their season so far in a nutshell was really summed up, I feel like, in that game. It wasn't a phenomenal game offensively, although Patrick Mahomes had a pretty good game. He did throw an interception, which we've kind of come to expect from him. So that was one thing that we've seen happen throughout the season. He did that. The running game, I think, while it was slow going early on, kind of turned up a little bit. Kareem Hunt, of course, got into the end zone. But really, Paul, defensively for Kansas City, it was another phenomenal game for the Chiefs. I mean, they really shut down the run. And they've been doing that all season long with Alexander Mattison. They had a massive goal line stand defensively that I think ultimately won them the game. And again, it's a lot of what we've come to expect from Kansas City.
Yeah, you just nailed it. Shut down the run.
Yeah.
90%, I think I can safely say 90% of the time a football team shuts down the run on their opposition for the day, they're going to win that football game. Las Vegas had 33 yards rushing. Total for a team.
Right.
33 yards. You know something? That's hard to overcome, particularly when I almost feel Gardner Minshew. I almost feel sorry for him in a way because a lot is being thrust upon him when you can't run the football. You can't run the football. Worse than that, the opposition knows you can't run the football, and so they brought a lot of heat. They were coming and coming, and it was really interesting to watch how that worked out. But you're right, the ability of the Chiefs to be able to shut down the run is almost growing week by week. At least it seems like to me. I can't really prove it. I guess we could, but teams are different, so it's hard to. I mean, for instance, Detroit's going to run the football better than the Raiders ran the football. If you play just as an example, but with that being said, it was a great effort defensively, and defense is really. I give them the credit for this win. They did a great job shutting down the run and allowing those big crazy guys up front to go wild, do some things. Did you notice how they widened their stances after about two quarters? They were roaring back, and they were just coming off the line and going to get him.
Yeah, and as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, in my mind it was a microcosm of everything that we've seen so far from Kansas City, both the good and the bad, really, I think, came to bear in the game yesterday.
What do you mean bad?
Obviously, a left tackle continues to be an issue.
Oh, I got you. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Max Crosby.
And it did. And it was a problem.
You have back-to-back weeks for Kansas City where you're going up against Nick Bosa and Max Crosby, of the best.
Good luck on that one.
Edge rushers in the National Football League. So that obviously played into it. But I think that I don't want to put words in your mouth, Paul, but left tackle, I think, has become a major issue where before it really wasn't that I was overly concerned. I just thought, okay, like it's going to be mediocre, but it'll be manageable. It'll be serviceable. It wasn't serviceable yesterday. That was an issue. I think cornerback, the secondary, they're getting a little bit more thin as that goes on. So defensively, that's something that I would look at as well. But then really, outside of what the defense was really able to do, stopping the run, bending, not breaking, all of that, if you take away, and I tweeted this yesterday during the game, if you take away Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs' defense, this team is pretty weak, right? Like, if you take away the defense, the defense has been outstanding. They've been one of the best defenses in the NFL. Spagnuolo is one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinators. But really, like, take that away. They're probably a middle of the road team. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness they have that defense because it showed up when it needed to the most. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think, won the game for Kansas City.
I'll go out on a line. I'll say where they're at, where they would be if that was the case, as you just described. Chiefs are 7-0 right now. In the case that you described, they're 3-4. That's where maybe 2-5. They could be 2-5 in that scenario. You're exactly right. You take that away, this is a different team. Because even though you've got the best football player in the entire NFL in Patrick Mahomes, they're not exactly lightening it up. They're not lightening it up at all. I mean, they're serviceable. They're doing enough to win. 27 points is reasonable. Come on, you got Patrick Mahomes and Kelvin and Travis Kelce. Come on now. You got the best player in the NFL.
Yeah.
You ought to be lightening up the scoreboard a little bit more, don't you think?
Well, and thank goodness that Travis Kelce has started to come alive the last couple of weeks. That's been really, really good.
You said by design, I think, a week or two ago. Was that you or was that Jacob?
I mean, I think that he's coming along for sure.
Okay.
Where, really they didn't need to lean on him quite as much and still win. Now they need to for sure. And they did, and he delivered.
Got it.
That's a pretty big tease, into hour number two. Because we're going to have a lot more on the Chiefs as we go through the program today. We'll talk about the good, the bad, and the fact that the Chiefs remain the only undefeated team in the NFL with their victory in Vegas yesterday. Coming up after the break, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, will join us. A lot to get to with the Sunflower Showdown, Kansas State and Kansas. We will get into all of that coming up on the other side. Of course, as I mentioned, the IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, joins us next on Sports Daily.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
And welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on this Reaction Monday, joined now by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. An extremely entertaining Sunflower Showdown as the Wildcats get the two-point victory in Manhattan on Saturday night, 29-27. Wyatt, good morning. Have you gotten some rest after that big game Saturday night?
I would say enough. Yeah. Yes and no.
Just enough.
How about that for an answer?
Yeah,
huh?
Just enough. It was
good to be on with you guys. That was a terrific football game and a really great win for K-State. Excited for them.
It absolutely was. And I want to get your top level view on this first before we really dig in. It was back and forth, obviously, and that's what you want from a rivalry game. You know, of course, the Wildcats able to extend their winning streak to 16 games against the Jayhawks, but it was different than a lot of these other matchups that we've seen over the course of the last decade and a half, Wyatt. And I think that last year's game and this year's game, I mean, it just shows how I guess close this rivalry has gotten, and just it ultimately ended up a battle back and forth, and really, I think, came down to which team made fewer mistakes, and that was obviously Kansas State.
Yeah, I think a couple of thoughts there, to be honest with you, Tommy. I think one is that K-State is pretty darn good at finding ways to win games, and it's been a little bit more of a struggle for KU. But I do think the last 2 years, and you're accurate there, shows you what kind of job Lance Leipold has done at Kansas. I don't think there's any question that they've closed the gap. I felt like, and I don't see them every week, but this is my thought. I thought Jalen Daniels played his best game this year, and I frankly don't think it was all that close. I know he was really good, you know, last week against Houston, but I thought he really, really brought it. They ran the ball well, and when they run the ball, they become exceptionally dangerous, and it was a challenge. Just kind of updating my charts here. They had 401 yards in total offense. K-State had a little bit more than that, but you kind of get the idea. I mean, when you get right down to it, I think mistakes is probably the difference, really.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would agree with that, Wyatt. And going back to what you had mentioned as far as the yards gained by both teams, and I think we had talked about it last week leading into the Sunflower Showdown, that the Wildcats really had this opportunity to pound the ball on the ground with that three-headed monster between Giddens and Edwards and, of course, Avery Johnson. All three of them did that. Dylan didn't touch the ball a whole lot offensively, but when he did, he made the most of it. And then, of course, DJ Giddens had over 100 yards on the ground. That ultimately, I think from an offensive point of view, certainly seemed to be, you know, sort of the game changer, the difference maker, I guess, for the Wildcats.
Yeah, you know, they've made their hay this year running the football. There's no question about that. But it has been a little bit more difficult in the last couple of games, the game in Morgantown 2 weeks ago and in this game. I thought overall KU defended DJ very, very well, with probably the exception of the one long run. They did a good job. I think a lot of people probably would say, man, I wish Dylan would get a couple of two or three more carries here and there. And I kind of understand that. You know, it's just, he's been very productive when called upon, whether it's in the throw game or the run game. It's one thing that I will say that I don't think gets enough headlines here is how well K-State's offensive line plays consistently this year. They have not been perfect, but when you consider that they lost an All-American and three sixth-year guys, and you know they're putting up the numbers they are, and for the season and in conference play, they're almost better in some ways in conference play when you start to shake that down. Really gives you an opportunity with a very talented young quarterback and, you know, good backs and solid receivers. I'll say it that way.
You know, Wyatt, you bring up something that really makes me think up to maybe next year even, and that is assuming that Jason Daniels come back, or Jalen Daniels comes back to KU. He's got another year. Avery Johnson's just a sophomore. Boy, the state of Kansas has got really two talented, athletic quarterbacks at their two major Big 12 schools. I think this is really something pretty cool. I like these two quarterbacks, but they're still a long ways away from being to that niche level in NCAA football, where they're, you know, where we start kind of mentioning them in under our breath with about Heisman maybe or something like that. Long ways away. But what's the upside on the state of Kansas right now with what two of what I think are two quarterbacks with so much potential? It could just be nuts.
Well, I agree with all of that. I think really when you look at Ed Avery, and we've talked a lot about him on this show week in and week out, but I think we should be, you know. I mean, he's been very productive. He seems to be a little bit better each and every week. I love his approach and his work ethic. Everybody loves his skill set. And I don't see Jalen as often, you know, and in person as you know, others do. But I don't know how you look at him and don't just think, wow, that's an electric talent. Mm-hmm. Coach Kleiman told me this last week when we got together and visited about the game that the most underrated thing about him is his arm talent. I think you saw that on that touchdown or potential touchdown that was dropped in the end zone early in the game. Mm-hmm. Guys, that was like a 55, 60-yard throw. And pretty much right on the money. It takes a little bit of skill set to do that. He's a fabulous player from my perspective.
Wyatt, as I was watching the game on Saturday night and Avery Johnson does a quick post-game interview on the field after the game, he mentioned how offensively in the second half, things were not clicking the way that they were in the first half for Kansas State.
Right.
They still found a way to win, and really, for both teams, I mean, it got kind of sloppy, and it wasn't, you know, great football on either side, and really the mistakes sort of piled up and ultimately became the death of Kansas in this matchup, quite frankly. But with Johnson specifically and the way that he led this Kansas State offense, what was your big takeaway from him leading the team offensively when things weren't going well? It's easy to be a leader when things are going well and you're connecting with your wide receivers and all of that, but you faced some adversity in the second half, and that could have very well been partially due to adjustments that Kansas made defensively in the second half, or just things, you know, maybe weren't, you know, rolling at the same kind of efficiency that you're used to. How do you think Johnson responded to when things were not particularly going well in the second half?
Well, I think he responded very, very well for a true sophomore and a guy who's played, 15, 16 games in a career. Under that duress, I'll say, because I thought Kansas did a pretty good job defensively. They moved him around a little bit, made things hard. And he said to us on postgame two that he was asked about how well did he play, and he said, not as good as I wanted to. And I think that's partly why he gets better and better and better. He went into pretty complete detail there of what he could have been better at. And I just think that's how you get better. I heard a basketball coach many years ago say, a lot of guys, when they practice on their strengths, not their weaknesses, and it should be the other way around. And I think it's true. But this is a young guy that practices both, I believe. And I think he handled it under the circumstances really pretty well. You know, the completion numbers weren't quite as good, but when he had to make a play, a lot of times he did. And I think that's also true for K-State. I think what he would tell you, too, is that on a night where he could have been better, the defense in the second half probably saved K-State because they made some adjustments, too, and they were better, especially in the fourth quarter, they were better. KU's mistakes were part of that, no question. But it was an electric crowd, good football game. You couldn't ask for more. But I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. They're sitting there 7-1, and I don't know that they've played their best football game yet, and that excites me.
Yeah, I'm going to make a comment just and see if you agree with me, because I might be crazy on this one, but I looked at this game and I watched this game, and it was a close game all the way through, and I thought to myself, why is this game so close? And it hit me. You know, I've watched KU over the last few years. They have not been a physical football team, and I'm talking about offensive line, defensive line. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, KU's come a long way with physicality in the trenches. They played K-State pretty darn well. They matched them pretty darn well. KU was almost as physical, if not as physical, as Kansas State. To me, that might be the difference of why this was only a two-point game. Your comments on the physicality of the University of Kansas, and does that give you pause as to think to yourself, well, maybe there's room for improvement on physicality with K-State at this point?
Well, I will say this. Doing this job day in and day out for, 23 football seasons now, when most people are asked about K-State, those coaches respond with the fact that they play very, very physical football, and they play exceptionally hard. They're always well prepared. Those types of things. I think that is still the case here. But I get your point. I made the point last week as often as I could that this is a Kansas team that you have to look at, that they're going to come in here and potentially play at their optimum level. Because don't kid yourself, that game meant a lot to them too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you saw that in their play.
Yeah.
And they have become more physical. I look at their offensive line, and I thought they did a pretty good job against a solid, solid K-State front. But I have to be honest and tell you, too, I think they were better on the defensive front from a physicality standpoint, Paul, than I thought they might be. They, I mean, you look at their front, especially Taylor Withers, Robinson, Woodkey, those kind of guys, Tommy Dunn, those guys can play. They're good players. They've just had an odd season, really, from the standpoint of, you know, they've lost some really hard games that they probably could have won late. I mean, they're up 11 points with 4.5 minutes to go at West Virginia and got beat, and usually that doesn't happen. So they've not been perfect, but they're clearly better, and the physicality is in part why. Number six is really good, too. Number four is great. He's a pro, 100%. Don't you think?
I do.
Yeah.
Anybody that watches that guy run the football and doesn't think he's going to play at the next level is crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joining us here reacting to the Sunflower Showdown, where Kansas State extends their winning streak to 16 games over the Jayhawks. Wyatt, let's go to the defining final drive for Kansas in the Sunflower Showdown as they're trying to push the ball into field goal range to hopefully set up what would have been, had it worked out, a game-winning field goal for the Jayhawks. I don't know if I have seen a team blitz as much as Kansas State did defensively on that final drive. I mean, they sent the house over and over and over again on Jalen Daniels and the Kansas offense. And really, credit to Joe Klanderman, credit to the Wildcat defense for executing those blitzes so well. I was surprised, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I was surprised that KU didn't really do anything to adjust to that on that final drive. It just sort of seemed like play after play after play, you just knew, everybody in the building knew that Kansas State was going to bring the house, and the Jayhawks really didn't do anything to adjust from that. But again, credit to Klanderman and the defense for Kansas State for really executing that well.
Joe Klanderman's been around here a long, long time. He's been with Chris Klieman a long time. And I left the stadium thinking to myself, when was the last time with a game on the line that late in the game that we saw the K-State be that aggressive in the blitz game and bring the house, so to speak? That's kind of the old cliche way to say it, right? But that's exactly what they were doing, Tommy, right? There's no doubt about that. And I think it helped K-State win the game. I don't know if they don't play it that way, we'll never know, but I guess what I'm saying is you could make an argument, had they not done that and played a little bit more conservatively, KU may have gotten a field goal try. It may have been a 50-55 yarder, but they may have got there. I just thought it was great. I mean, hey, if you're going to go down swinging, boy, why not? It's like you got Bob Gibson on the mound. Are you going to let him throw a curveball with that heater?
Yeah. Right.
Let it all hang out, right? Let it all hang out. It's, you know,
absolutely.
It's a rivalry game in the final drive. I mean, that, and I think that, honestly, from a play-calling perspective, and you mentioned Joe Klanderman's been around for a long time. It's not his first rodeo. It's not his first Sunflower Showdown. But I'll tell you what, that took a lot of guts. I think it took a lot of guts defensively from a play-calling perspective, because all it would have taken, well, maybe not all it would have taken, but Kansas could have set up a screen.
Sure.
They could have done a draw play. There were different things that they could have done to counter that, where it could have blown up that blitz, you know, caught the Wildcats on their heels a little bit. That didn't happen. So those were gutsy calls, I think, from the K-State defense.
Absolutely. And I think it's a risk-reward thing, right? I mean, there's going to be, when you do that, there is risk. There's no question about it. And I think that's what was so satisfying about it if you're a K-State fan, because, you know, did you have any other choice other than to get after him? I mean, he was good enough that night that if you don't get in his face, he's probably going to make a play or two and put you in harm's way. simply stated.
You know,
I don't think there's any doubt about
it. Yeah.
You know, let me get to just a basic question right now regarding the Big 12, if you don't mind, Wyatt.
You got
four teams that right now look like they could be the champion of the Big 12 in Iowa State, BYU, K-State, and, of course, Colorado. Two of the teams sitting at 4-1, BYU and Iowa State sitting at 5-0 and 4-0, undefeated in the Big 12. One of those four teams is going to be a representative into the big dance. We know that. What do you think right now about the chances of two teams? You know, we're talking about two teams from the Big 12. Is this conference strong enough? Will they have enough pull to get two teams into the big dance?
I would like to think that the answer is definitely yes. I think when people look at the top of our league, you see very, very quality football teams, don't you?
I do.
I mean, I've said it all along. BYU has made a big step from their first year in the league from last year to this. And I think it isn't just Jake Retzlaff, who I think if you go back and look what he did a year ago in terms of results, win-lose, it wasn't very good. And now here they sit. I think Iowa State is a dynamite team, honestly. Some have argued that they haven't played the same kind of schedule K-State has played, and I believe that is so. I do. I think what will hurt is just the national perception, because you have so many talking heads that are so pro-SEC and Big Ten.
Yes, sir.
Does that influence the committee? It shouldn't, but sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. Name recognition is also important, much like it is in basketball. There's going to be, you know, I'm just going to be blunt about this. There's going to be some politics in it. It's just part of it. It's an imperfect system. But I do, to specifically answer your question, is the league good enough to get two out of 12? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see if that's the reality, though, once it all comes to bear. It's interesting, Wyatt, because, you know, week in and week out, it's really easy to talk about the stars. You know, it's really easy to talk about the Avery Johnsons and the DJ Giddens and, you know, some of these other players on this team. Just because they're lighting it up week after week and doing really remarkable things. Usually the only time that a kicker is brought up is when it's in a negative light or a negative connotation. But hats off to Chris Tennant. I mean, you know, hitting that ultimately game-winning field goal with a couple of minutes left in the game, that wasn't an easy field goal. It was a long field goal. And I know that, you know, you've obviously followed, you know, and called every game that Tennant has been with, but it hasn't always been sunshine and rainbows for Chris Tennant. So I think, I'm sure, obviously, that was such a positive moment for him to hit that game-winning field goal against your in-state rival. You know, hats off to him. That was clutch.
I'm really glad you brought that subject up, because I do think you can look at this 100 different ways. But the weekend for me, okay, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about how good my life is. Friday night, I emceed the pep rally after the parade. And one of the people I got to interview there was Darren Sproles. I don't know if you remember how many stars Darren Sproles had coming out of high school,
sure,
but it wasn't very many.
Right.
Right. Chris Tennant and what he has gone through here in growing into a really, really fine football player. And he mentioned it to us on the air. He mentioned it to the media afterwards. K-State, he hasn't always been K-State's favorite guy. The fan base, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he's just gotten better and better and better. And what resonated with me among probably above everything else is what Coach Klieman said during his presser, that in the last month, he has been superb in kicking the ball. And it's reality. I mean, that thing was right down the middle. And from my perspective, probably would have been good from 55, 56 yards. He smoked it.
You know,
good for him too.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the schedule ahead, I mean, it is not, it's not like this is a cakewalk, I can tell you that right now. But when you look at the schedule ahead, there's going to be some games that kind of worry me, and I'm sure they worry you too. What's the one or two games that you can think can be a trap game? You know, it's one of those games where, you know, K-State will be favored. I know you got to think there's one game that's going to be a trap game. What's the one game that's got you worried just a little bit?
Well, I'll say that there are three games before K-State plays at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And I would say most everybody would say the most worrisome game could be Cincinnati. Even though they got beat in Boulder, they're much better. Good football team. But I'll say this. You better be worried about Houston. Defensively, they are really good. Offensively, they are pretty ordinary, probably below average. But their football coach is dynamite, and he's been around. He knows Kansas State a little bit. He brought a Tulane team in here not all that long ago and beat K-State. He knows what K-State is all about. This will not be an easy game from my perspective. And if it is, I'll admit next week that I was wrong. These games on the road are hard. So I think the answer is Cincinnati under normal circumstances, but you'd better take some time and worry about this one too.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I think I agree with you on is Houston. That a little bit of fear? That's not bad. That's not all bad. Because, you know, this is not the same Houston team as when this season started. This is a team that's starting to figure this out. They're now 2-3 in the conference. They're 3-5. I was at a point where I was wondering, will they win a game? Seriously, I was at a point in this season.
Who wasn't?
It's a
great point because, I mean, they won at TCU. I don't know if you've noticed, but TCU's been a little bit better lately.
Yep.
And their quarterback, Hoover's been really, really good. Numbers that are rock solid. I mean, touchdowns to interceptions, his numbers are every bit as good as Avery's, right? So that was a pretty good win. And you can say what you want about Utah, but they beat Utah the other night.
They did.
Oh.
And they beat them 17-14 on a kick with 4 seconds to go. But here's what people may have missed. They were inside the five twice and didn't score. They were the much better football team.
Yeah.
So if you're not worried about them, there's something wrong with you.
100%. And you know, and like you mentioned, Wyatt, I mean, going on the road to take on Willie Fritz, you know, is never an easy task, regardless of the talent level on the team. And I know that really the narrative with Houston this year has been give Fritz a little bit of time. He's rebuilding this program up, competing in the Big 12, all of that. And I wonder if that timeline has been moved up a little bit. He clearly doesn't have the horses, right? Like that he would want for sure. The talent level just isn't, I'm sure, probably where he would want it to be overall, but he's getting the most out of them. At least he has over the last several weeks. And like you mentioned, beating Utah at home on Saturday, that's a huge accomplishment for this Cougars team. The Wildcats head to Houston on Saturday. So I know that, you know, we had talked last week about Kansas State being on the road a lot before they got to play the Sunflower Showdown. They're right back on the road this weekend against Houston. And I kind of agree with you. I don't know if I would call it trappy necessarily, but this is a team that I think is playing better than what it shows on paper.
Without a doubt. And I don't think K-State will take them lightly. That's not the way Chris Klieman operates. You know, they're going to try to hone in and get ready to roll because, you know, they're going to look at Houston way different than everybody else does because I know how they think and operate, and they are going to know what Houston is defensively. And they may be talent void in some areas, but not so much on the defensive side. They've got dudes up front. They've got dudes in the middle and in the back. A.J. Halsey is one of the best secondary players in our league. There's no doubt about that. The question will be, can they do enough offensively? Because they've kind of alternated quarterbacks back and forth, and the Chris kid has kind of been the guy the last couple of weeks and seems to be settling in there. But they've got pieces. I'll also say this. If the quarterback plays well, they have a couple of two or three receivers that are pretty salty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I know they'll take it quite seriously. 100%.
It's a 2:30 kickoff on Saturday in Houston for the Wildcats. What do you guys have planned for the broadcast?
Well, still kind of making some of those, to be honest with you, but we'll visit with Coach Klieman. We'll visit with the coordinators. And I'm not totally sure yet on the players, but I've kind of one of the guys that I thought I might try to get a talk with this week is Cody Stufflebean, who's from McPherson, been here a long time, a sixth-year guy. Kind of what we were talking about, like with what K-State is, right? Not highly recruited. Hadn't even been a starter until this year, and look how well he's played. He's kind of the other guy with Brendan Mott. He doesn't get the headlines, but he's a dude. And so I'm anxious to see if I can get him cornered and visit with him for a few minutes. Great kid. Thrilled he came back for a sixth year. It's helped us a lot.
Well, it's going to be, of course, another fun game as the Wildcats continue to try to keep their not only Big 12 title hopes alive, but also potentially entry into the college football playoff. And it continues on Saturday on the road at Houston again. Kickoff is at 2:30. All the coverage, of course, here locally will be on KFH. Wyatt, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you again on Saturday.
Tommy, Paul, good to talk to you as always. Thank you so much.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats here on Sports Daily. Paul, we're going to take a quick timeout on the other side. Let's look at the Sunflower Showdown from the Kansas perspective. We've talked Kansas State.
All right.
Let's look at it from the Jayhawks. Are there any moral victories that you can look at? I don't know if you want to call it a moral victory, if you believe in that sort of thing, or if you feel like you let one get away. We'll discuss that on the other side. In hour number one on a Reaction Monday, it's Sports Daily. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing. We'll be right back. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson joining us in the previous segment to talk Sunflower Showdown. The Wildcats beat the Jayhawks for the 16th year in a row, 29-27 in Manhattan on Saturday night. If you missed any of that interview and you want a reaction or a recap of the Sunflower Showdown, you can always go and listen to it on the free Odyssey app. We have that podcasted up for you so you can check out that interview and more reaction from the Sunflower Showdown. Paul, as we wrap up hour number one, we're going to get into the NFL and the Chiefs more in hour two. So let's put a bow on the Sunflower Showdown and look at things briefly from the Kansas perspective. Right. And we'll have more on this as the week goes on with our KU insider, Sharias Latta. We'll talk about them and really how the game played out for the Jayhawks on Saturday night. But this was a game, Paul, where I think that Kansas, you have to lament all of the mistakes and the missed opportunities. For a good portion of that game, they were the better team. I think that's objective. I really do. I think that they played at least offensively better for the most part, but the mistakes killed them, the mental mistakes. The drop touchdown in the end zone by Quentin Skinner. The decision to take the ball out on a kickoff and get down at the one-yard line that resulted in a safety. A missed PAT after the Devin Neal touchdown. And then the fumbles from Jalen Daniels ultimately cost the Jayhawks the game. So I know I used the words moral victory before the break. I'm not sure that at this point in the season for the Jayhawks, you can even think about that. You're just thinking about the fact that really you let one get away.
Well, let me just expound on what you just said. I will even go a step further and say there were a couple of quarters in that football game that KU, I thought, was the better football team. But there were also a couple of quarters that K-State was a better football team. Yeah. So take your choice. But, I mean, that tells me that you're making progress, because there's been a day where we'd go, well, they didn't have any quarters where they were the better football team. And now we're starting to say that. I told you that before we went to break. Tommy, I've got a question for you with regards to the University of Kansas, because what we're talking on about what's being built for the University of Kansas hinges on, I think, very importantly, Jalen Daniels coming back. What are the chances he steps into the portal? What are the chances that he says, you know something, I've had enough here at the University of Kansas. I think I'm going to enter the portal, see what good I can get, see if there's a place I can get some NIL that's above and beyond what I'm getting here at the University of Kansas. What are the chances of him at this point, Tommy, or have you heard something?
No, I haven't heard anything, but I don't think it's going to be a scenario where NIL, from a money perspective, is the deciding factor for him, because I'm not sure that there's another team in college football that wants Jalen Daniels enough to pay him more than what he's currently making right now. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think that if he were to leave Kansas and enter the portal or whatever, I think he would do it just simply because he wants a fresh start, you know, and it's been a disappointing season for Kansas and you know, probably something that he would look at. I don't want to say it's likely. I wouldn't be shocked if this is the last season that we see Jalen Daniels playing for Kansas. I really don't. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. But you know what? At the end of the day, for this particular team this season, there was not a moment, even when Kansas was leading the game late. I mean, they had a 1-point lead with 3 minutes left in the game. there was not a moment where I thought, yep, Kansas is going to win this game. In fact, I texted Jacob with about 4 minutes to go. Kansas was leading. They had the ball. And I texted him and I said, congratulations to Kansas State on winning this game. And he's like, what are you talking about? All they have to do is kick a field goal. Like, even coming, like, all they have to do, all Kansas has to do is hold on to the ball, run the clock out. Then even after Tennant hit the field goal, all they had to do was get into field goal range. I said, nope. I had seen this movie too many times from Kansas.
Tommy, that was horrible. I mean, come on, Tommy.
There was no, at that point, you've seen, this is a team that has led in every single game this season in the fourth quarter except for one. They're 2-6. They cannot close out games. They've shot themselves in the foot. They did it. They've done it multiple times this year. They've done it multiple times. So there was no hope at that point, even with Kansas having the ball and the lead with just a couple of minutes to go.
I didn't know K-State was going to win that football game with 4 minutes. 100%
thought
they would. I did not know.
100% thought they would. 100%. And I think all told, I think they had like 17 plays. They ran the ball. They had 17 plays with the ball with the lead midway through the fourth quarter. They ran the ball with Devin Neal like two or three times. You had the lead. You just need to run clock. Why are you not running the ball with Devin Neal more? He's one of the best running backs in the league.
I can't answer that.
There was really no point where I felt optimism that Kansas would actually be able to pull it out and win the game. And ultimately, Kansas State extends that streak to 16. It's been, I think you can call it, chalk it up to a lost season for the Jayhawks this year, which is unfortunate because this was the year with the expectations, with a ton of talent and veterans and all of that. It's disappointing, but hats off to Kansas State for keeping their postseason hopes alive as they continue on. And they're now 7-1, taking on Houston on the road this weekend. Kansas gets the week off to, I guess, regroup and try to figure out, is there a way they can get bowl eligible by winning out? That's what they're going to have to do, is win out, win four in a row. Easier said than done for the Jayhawks. That's going to wrap up hour number one, Paul. On the other side, we will get back into the NFL. The Chiefs beat the Raiders on the road 27-20, and a lot of other headlines from the NFL. We'll get into all of it next here on Sports Daily.